Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is God's Word. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities or manifestations, but the same God produces each gift in each person. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is writing to a group that had a lot of problems. They were Christians, but they often didn't act like it. And he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. It's possible to have spiritual gifts and not know what you've got, okay? Numerous stories about this that could be shared. The tremendous jewel that was used for a doorstop in a home because a guy thought it was just a really neat rock. And then somebody came along and that became one of the most famous jewels in history. I've known people who did not know what a particular piece of furniture or whatever was worth. My sister in Connecticut years ago saw in a place that sold antiquities, a big leather trunk. And she thought it was really nice. It was in good shape. And so she bought it and she put it in her entry hall. Her boss's wife came to visit one day, saw it, nearly had a heart attack, and said to my sister, where did you get that? She said, oh, I bought it at thus and such a place. And she said, really, well, forgive me for asking, but how much did you pay? My sister said, $50. It was a Louis Vuitton trunk. It was a real antique Louis Vuitton trunk, and the leather was all embossed with LV. Well, my sister had a modest enough income through her husband not to even know what Louis Vuitton was. She didn't shop at those kinds of stores. And so here she had bought something that she didn't know was worth thousands of dollars. And the person who sold it clearly did not know that it was worth thousands of dollars. Within the body of Christ, as we just read, God gives gifts to all. Each of us receive a manifestation of the Spirit from him. But not everybody understands what they've got. Not everyone understands what other people may have. And one of the tragedies is that the Holy Spirit, who is to unite us, and his gifts, which are for the good of the whole body, this often becomes divisive. churches, denominations, families split over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's tragic. That is the work of the enemy. That is not the work of God. He says, I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And then he says, you know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. In other words, in the past, you believed stuff that wasn't true. And you followed after things that can't help you. So recognize your capacity for error. And understand this as the first thing concerning spiritual gifts. I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. How do you know whether or not something is really of God? How do you know whether a teaching or a practice or a church is really Spirit-led? Is it because every time you go, you get goosebumps? Is it because when you're there, you are intellectually challenged? The question is this. What does it do with Jesus? Does it exalt Jesus as Lord? Because that is the indication of the Holy Spirit's work. There are folks on both sides of the divide, both extremes, concerning spiritual gifts, who are utterly convinced that they are right and being led by the Spirit. And I'll just tell you right now, it's not exalting Jesus. It's not exalting Jesus. And this group would say that about that group, and that group would say it about this group, and both of them, to a great extent, are guilty of the exact same error. And that is believing that anybody who doesn't have their experience is not really right with God. These folks, at the extreme, say, if you don't have the gift that I have, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, some doctrinally believe that unless you were baptized in the name of Jesus, as opposed to in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and unless you manifested the reception of the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, unless that has happened, you're not saved. Okay? Now, come back a little way and you'll find some people not as extreme who'd say, no, that is not true. That is not true. But I would say that if you haven't spoken in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? When folks over here see those folks over there and hear what they're saying and they say, oh, that's terrible. That's ungodly. But you got this group over here, the extreme cessationists who are just absolutely sure if they haven't spoken in tongues, nobody should. Okay? And they can build a case based on a twisting of scriptures, just like I mentioned about, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay? That's ripping a verse out of context, misapplying it, and you can have a humorous result, or in this case, you can have an extremely prideful and false doctrinal position that attacks anybody who disagrees as being unbiblical. And where is the exaltation? Well, sometimes it's of a preacher who is just so wise. He just, oh boy, he just... If it's the Spirit of God at work, Jesus is going to be the one exalted. Jesus is going to be the one exalted. Let me tell you, there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. So, the first thing we need to know about spiritual gifts, according to this passage, is that what is done with Jesus is what it's all about. Now, verse 4, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries or offices, but the same Lord. And there are different activities or manifestations, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Underline verse 7, circle verse 7, write it in the margin, whatever you do with your Bible. Let me tell you, this is at the heart of the message this morning. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person, not to some people. Everybody who is a Christian is given a manifestation of the Spirit. That's what God says. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person, you want to say it with me? For the common good. The purpose of your gift is not to make you feel wonderful about yourself. The purpose of God's gifting in your life is so that you can minister to others and serve them. God wants all of us to benefit from the individual gifts he gives to different people. And he doesn't give us all the same gifts. In fact, he gives, distributing to each person as he wills. God's the one who decides what we need. You and I don't get to decide. It's not up to us. Should we desire spiritual gifts? Yes. Should we have a desire for the higher gifts, as Paul refers to them? Yeah, that's a great thing. That's fine. But don't deny what God has already done in your life because you are hoping to be the next Billy Graham. And if I can't be the next Billy Graham, then what's the use in this thing? Okay? Well, you may think it's just a doorstop, and God says, no, that is a jewel. And it's going to be, it is worth so much more than you can comprehend. God doesn't make junk, and God doesn't give junk. Whatever God gifts you with is wonderful, and it's for his glory, and it is for the good of the body of Christ. So, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different manifestations, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. And then Paul begins a list. Let's look briefly at this list. We're going to, God willing, look at it in more detail next time. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. Is the emphasis on any one of those gifts, or is the emphasis on the Spirit who gives all of them? You've got a gift mentioned, and it says it's from the Spirit. Another gift mentioned, from the Spirit. Another one, from the Spirit. The emphasis for us should not be on a particular gift, but on God himself. The Spirit is not an it. It's not an impersonal force. The Spirit is God. God's Spirit who comes to live in us. The Spirit of the risen Christ. The same Spirit who raised him from the dead now lives and works in us. And that is where our emphasis should be, because our reliance should not be on our giftedness. Our reliance should be on him. We depend upon him, and he manifests himself in various ways through various people within the body. Later in this chapter, the apostle is going to talk about the fact that we're not all alike, but we need one another. And when one part of the body is hurting, the rest of the body feels the pain. I have occasional trouble with my left ankle. Don't know why, just all of a sudden, my left ankle messes up. My right ankle's pretty good. I also have some problems from time to time with my left knee. Don't know why it happens, but it hurts. It hurts to walk, hurts to climb stairs. But here's the thing. I can't leave my left leg at the bottom of the stairs when it's hurting. You understand? I depend upon my left ankle and my left knee, even when they're not functioning well, even when they're hurting, I still need them. I can't just cut them off and say, well, you know, you have hurt me for the last time. I'm amputating my foot. Sorry, toes. Wasn't your fault, but you know, that's not the way it works. That's not medicine, that's insanity. But if I was to stand at the bottom of the stairs and say, dear Lord, I can't stand this pain anymore. Please give me a new ankle. And God suddenly turned me into a giant ankle. Okay? I wouldn't even be able to speak to him to say, no, I said, give me a new ankle, not make me a new ankle. Okay? I mean, if I was just an ankle, I wouldn't be able to climb the stairs either. If the body of Christ was all one part, or just a whole bunch of that part, if all I had was 20 ankles, okay? How many ankles you want? You know, I just want one on this foot, one on this one. You know, just the way you designed it, God. Yes, that's the key. God designed the body of Christ, and he decides what gifts belong where and to whom to give them. And he gives us each a gift for the good of the body. It has a purpose, and the purpose is that we might be God's means of blessing one another. And so these various manifestations that are given for the common good include such things as a message of wisdom, God gifting someone with a timely word that is exactly what the body needs in order to be able to know and do the will of God. To another, the message of knowledge. God willing, we'll talk more about this next week, but this is sometimes called a word of knowledge, and it's where God shows you something that you didn't have any human way of knowing. But God, who knows all things, reveals it. And you may not even realize what God's doing when he manifests that gift. There have been times in my life where God manifested a word of knowledge, and I realized something about somebody that I had no human way of knowing. There were no clues, but God just revealed it. Whether it was in one case, and you can read Discerning the Difference if you want more elaborate telling of these stories, but in one case it was a person who'd had an abortion and never shared that with anyone. It happened years earlier, and I had no way of knowing that. I wasn't suspecting it. It was just something, it needed to be dealt with. This person was wanting counseling, and God revealed that to me weeks before we met. On another occasion, it was the fact that someone was struggling with same-sex attraction. They'd been battling depression and problems for years, and they had reached out to me, and God showed me what they were dealing with, and I thought, oh, well, I'll talk to them about it, and God said no. It was 4 years before I was able to talk with them about that problem. They had to come to the point of absolute brokenness, at a point at which this was a person in ministry. She was ready to commit suicide, and she called me because she wanted to say goodbye. And God, in his mercy, in that conversation, had prepared her to talk about something that she had not even wanted to admit to herself. And here's the thing. I didn't tell her, here's your problem. She finally told me, this is why I can't go on living. And I was able to bring to her the joyful news that God loves you. Jesus died for you. The things you're struggling with don't make God mad at you. You can come to him and find healing. And let me tell you, her life was transformed. She wasn't belligerently clinging to a sinful lifestyle. She was battling temptation, and she felt that because she had such temptations, she was despicable, defective, needing to end it all. God had shown me what the problem was so that I was able to encourage her for 4 years until she got to the point where she was finally able to talk about her struggle. That's a word of knowledge. Faith by the same Spirit. Well, don't we all have to have faith? Yes, but this is a special gifting of faith. I said in the previous service, it's the difference between, I mean, I can run, but I'm not a marathoner, okay? And there are some people whose faith is marathon faith. That's a gift from God, and it isn't just for that individual. It's to bless the whole body of Christ. Gifts of healing. Go on YouTube and watch Nick Vujicic and listen to what God's doing through his ministry around the world. Traveled more than 3 million miles on airplanes. Spoken in all kinds of countries, including countries where it's illegal to become a Christian, and there are people who've threatened his life. But he's gone into Muslim countries and Hindu countries, and in some places, people have said to him, if your God is real, show me. If your God is real, pray for this to happen. And Nick, who has no arms and no legs because he was born that way, Nick has prayed and seen people miraculously healed. And when he did, he wasn't going in there as a faith healer. He was going in there as an evangelist to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when he was challenged to pray, he prayed, not full of faith. As he said, I had a tiny little bit of faith, but I put it in an almighty God. And God supernaturally brought healing, miraculous, instantaneous healing. And Nick didn't say, well, yeah, it happens everywhere I go. Nick said, wow, that is so great. It is so great because God is so great. Gifts of healing, that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. To another, performing miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these. Now, I know that there are precious Christians who really sincerely believe that these particular manifestations of the gift are no longer available to the body of Christ. Because now that we have our Bibles, we don't need these gifts anymore. We just need our Bibles. Well, that's handy if you want to be able to keep God in your hand. I have corresponded with some of the top advocates of cessationism. And the fact of the matter is, they twist the scriptures in ways that they would never allow anyone else to do in order to try and protect their own position. Because just as these folks are saying, if you don't have my experience and you don't have my gifting, then you're not validly my brother or sister. These folks are saying, if you've had an experience I haven't had, you're not my brother or sister. You're either crazy or demonized. Well, let me tell you, that's an awful lot like what Jesus warned the Pharisees about as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because they were attributing his work to demons. So Pastor Wood, are you saying these people have committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? I'm saying they are on, at best, very dangerous ground. Well, I think it's just as dangerous to attribute something that isn't the work of God to God. Yeah, I'd say that's true. In fact, I would say that's so true that we need to go to the scriptures and see what does God say. Because I'm not interested in what Dr. So-and-so says or Pastor So-and-so says if it doesn't line up with Scripture. And if you have to rip a verse out of context in order to make it fit your doctrine and experience, you're not being faithful to the Word of God. God's intention is not just that you need others, it's that others need you. He designed it that way. He wants us to love one another and serve one another. And that's what the gifts are for. But if the gifts are functioning biblically, the one who will get the praise is not the person manifesting the gift. It's the giver. He will be the one who is exalted in our congregation. He will be the one who's lifted up. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Not only has given you gifts if you're in Christ Jesus, but he wants to lead you and help you understand how to use those gifts for his glory and the good of others.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.